We just want to say again, happy birthday, America. Welcome to our online audience. You know, we got people watching all over the world. So everybody say hi to those watching online. Happy birthday, everyone. Hey, we're having a great time here. When you look at America, a lot of good things, a lot of strange things happen in America as well. Don't you agree? I mean, it's only in America that they sell hot dogs in packages of 12, but buns in packages of 8. Go figure that out. Only in America do they have cars worth thousands of dollars sitting in a driveway and useless items packed in the garage. Only in America. Here's someone who wrote this anecdote about things that happen in America, and you know, just some funny things. Only in America. You start the day early, having set your alarm clock, made in Japan, to 6 a.m., while your coffee pot, made in China, is perking. You shave with an electric razor, made in Hong Kong. You put on a dress shirt made in Sri Lanka. Designer jeans, made in Singapore. Tennis shoes, made in Korea. And after cooking your breakfast in a new electric skillet made in India, you sit down with a calculator made in Mexico to see how much you can spend today. And after setting your watch, made in Taiwan, to the radio, made in India, you get into your car, made in Japan, you fill it with gas from Saudi Arabia, and you continue your search for a good-paying American job. At the end of yet another discouraging and fruitless day, checking your computer, made in Malaysia, you decide to relax for a while, so you put on sandals, made in Brazil, you pour your glass of wine, made in France, and you turn on the TV, made in Indonesia, and you wonder why you can't find a good-paying job in America. It's because the jobs are all over the world. Only in America. But this is the home of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Somebody say amen. We are living in the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's because 247 years ago, some brave men and women who supported them, people who we call today our founding fathers, declared their independence from the tyranny of a government and a king in England. And they set their words to something we know today as the Declaration of Independence, and this is probably one of the most popular phrase from that entire declaration. And that is this, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are, say it with me, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And there have been migrants pouring in by the droves across the borders, whether they enter through New York, whether they enter through California or Washington or even Hawaii. People by the droves are increasingly coming to America. Some coming illegally, for whatever that reason is, but they're all hoping to find what no other place on the earth provides, and that is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Here's just some quick numbers. Quick numbers put together by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency, and these are just encounters that they've had with those that are trying to get across the border, and some are illegal, some are, you know, legal, but these are encounters that they've had, and just look at the progression over time. In 2020, 647,000, just round it off, people they've encountered trying to cross just the border, the southern border. In 2021, almost 2 million people tried to make that trek. 2022, it jumped up to 2.7 million people they have an encounter with. 2023, up through the present day, or May 2023, it's already 2 million people. They're all streaming across the border. Again, some may have some illegal intentions, but the majority of them are coming here. They're risking their lives. They're risking their families for what? See, America has become synonymous with, if you want to find life, if you want to find liberty, if you want to pursue happiness, it's in America. And so they've been crossing the borders and trying to get here. And you look at this tremendous number of people trying to get across for the three things that sometimes I think we take for granted. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And you forget sometimes that that came at a tremendous cost of people giving their lives, people sacrificing their blood, their sweat, their tears. For what purpose? Why did we go through the revolution? And there's all kinds of debates, all kinds of arguments. But I think if you remove the layer of the political layer, you remove the economic layer, you remove some of these other layers, and you come down to its basic essential of why they put their lives on the line 247 years ago, it was to have freedom. Freedom for what? Freedom to worship their God. It's a statement by Patrick Henry, who was the first signer of the Declaration. In fact, they say his signature was the largest of all, which meant he really meant this. He said this about our freedom. He said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of all other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here." It doesn't matter what you worship. It doesn't matter what church you go to. You're welcome here. But this country was founded on worshiping God, founded on the principles and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a foundational base of the country. George Washington said this: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor." Men and women have given their lives and sacrificed over the years of time to build upon the foundations and the principles of God and the foundations of Jesus Christ. And Hawaii here, as a nation in Hawaii, we too were influenced by all of this. For the very first constitution that was established in Hawaii, it said this in our constitution, that no law shall be enacted which is at variance with the word of the Lord Jehovah or at variance with the general spirit of his word. All laws of the islands shall be in consistency with the general spirit of God's law. Imagine if the laws that we have today were all following this premise, that it should all be based on the word of God and the spirit of God. How would that be different for us today? Living in these islands. The foundation was laid for this country 247 years ago. You know why we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about today? I'm a statistics kind of guy. I like to look at numbers. But sometimes I come across numbers and it makes me stop and think, wait, what's happening here? Despite all that had gone on over the last 240 some years, and the blood that was shed and the lives that were sacrificed, Gallup, who does these surveys and takes these polls, their most recent poll of America and satisfaction of America found this alarming statistic in my eyes, that only 39% of people living in this country are proud to be an American. Only 39% are proud to be an American. And those kind of statistics, folks, stop me. And I go, what happened? Why? When I pray over, Lord, you know, what is it that we're going to cover this week? What are the things that we're going to talk about? I like to look for these moments of tension. So there's what's happening in the world. There's what the Word of God says. And somewhere in there, there's this point of tension, this rub that's going on. And this is a point of tension for me, that if this country was founded on the principles of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and only 39% feel that they like living in this country, there's something not right here. And so I went to prayer. I said, "So, Lord, what's happening? What's happening on this birthday of America that we should be celebrating, but it's only 39% that are really celebrating this birthday?" And I think it's this, that America as a country, we are slowly losing our freedom, our sense of freedom. There's a slow leak of freedom happening. And we're losing our freedom because we have wandered from our identity as, which was defined by the Lord God Himself in the very beginning of time, in Genesis. You go back to the time of creation. He says, we will make man and women in our image, says the Lord God. That we have been made in the image of God. Other references say that we are children of God. In other words, we as children of God, made in the image of God, we're not God, but we have the likeness of God. We have his DNA, if you will, imprinted in our souls, in our spirits. And when we have that DNA imprinted in us, it can't be taken away. But we can walk away from the benefits that come along with being a child of God. If we're a child of God, then wouldn't you think that the Father himself would provide us with everything the child needs, would provide us with the right living conditions, the right situation and circumstances, that the provisions that we would need, he would provide all that stuff. Wouldn't you think a father would provide that for their child? We have his DNA, and God would set up for us everything that we would need. We don't deserve it. There's nothing that we did to earn that. It was by his grace. And we can't change the fact that we have his DNA as a child of God imprinted in us, but we can walk away from the benefits. It's like my son, Brandon. You saw him give the announcements. And, you know, Brandon is my son. He carries my DNA. That's why he's so smart and wise and handsome. And he has just all the good things going for him because he carries my DNA. And if he carries my DNA, wouldn't you think that as his father, would want to provide everything for his benefit, everything that would allow him to be fruitful and to succeed in life, that I would give all of that to him, not because he earned it, but because of my grace. Because he carries my DNA, and he cannot change that DNA. But he can walk away from the benefits. If he wants to be an idiot, if he wants to be a bonehead, if he wants to be ugly, that's up to him. He can walk away from the things that I provide for him. But he has my DNA stamped in him. And I think somewhere along the way, even though we have been stamped with the image of God on our hearts, and this country has been founded on the principles of God, that we've walked away. It's like my other son, Jared. Let's just take Jared for example. I mean, take him. Somebody, please, take him. I'm just kidding. So we adopted Jared, you know, several years ago. He turns 21 in August. For those of you that knew him from when we brought him back at 3.5 years old, he's 21 a month from now. But as a son of mine, as an adopted son of mine, like we are adopted children of God, I gave him everything. I would give him everything. He had everything at his disposal. He even looks handsome like me. He has everything at his, and I would provide for everything that he needed to have a successful life. When he was in school, I would answer every call from the principal's office that we get. Every single day of his life. And I would back him up. And when he'd go to sports, I'd go to every practice and I would, you know, teach everything that he needed. I provided that to him because I wanted him to succeed. I wanted to create the environment for his success. Now, does he have to take it? No. He can walk away from that. Like he did the other day. You know, he's growing up, graduating from high school. Now he's going to college, now he gets a job, and now he needs a car. And so I just bought at that time, 2018, I bought a brand new truck. I bought a brand new truck. It was like one of a kind. They don't sell any of these on the island. It's one of those trucks where you got to wind down the window. There's no electric window. There's no electric lock, so you got to reach all the way across and unlock. But I said, Jared, you're going to go to school, you need a car. Here it is, free. I give it to you. You can have this truck. It's a 2018, it's a truck. And he appreciated for the first few months, first few years. And then just the other week, he said, Dad, I want to get another truck. I said, why? He said, because I don't want to drive a Nissan anymore. I want to drive a Toyota. Talking to his brother again. I said, but it's a new truck. This is your truck. He goes, yeah, but I want to drive a Toyota. I said, okay, up to you. You're turning 21. This is on you. You go figure it out. So he went on, I don't know, Facebook Marketplace or whatever that is. He looked at different trucks. He found Toyotas. He said, Dad, I found one. And here's another one. And here's another. I said, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for a 2014 4Runner. 2014? You have a 2018 truck. One of a kind on the island. Well, you gotta roll the windows down. Why do you want a 2014 truck? He said, because it's a Toyota. I said, okay, you go figure it out. So he tried to figure things out. He went to look at this, went to look at that. I said, no, take your time on this, all right? Because this is your decision. This is your thing. So on Father's Day, you know Father's Day? You're supposed to honor your father and mother. He was supposed to cook dinner for me on Father's Day. And I go preach at another church, and I get home, I'm tired, and then I get a phone call. Now, normally when he texts me, I look at the text message, but when his name shows up on caller ID, it's like the principal's office is calling me again. I go, yep. He goes, Dad, I'm test driving this truck. I said, okay. I got into an accident. You what? Yeah, I was just backing it up in the parking lot, and I hit this car behind me. I said, okay, well, what's the damage? Oh, not bad. The bumper fell off. I said, so I told the guy that I'm going to buy the truck. I said, okay, how much? He goes, well, he's 18. You know, usually 2014. I went online. I looked up 2014 4Runner, like a 25,000, whatever. He said, it's 18,000. I said, okay, well, how much miles? He goes, only 24,000 miles. I said, wait, 2014, only, what? Wait, something doesn't add up here. He said, yeah, but I already damaged the truck, so I told the guy I'm going to have to buy it. I said, okay, your money. So next day he goes, sells his truck. He gets 17,500. Good, he needs 18. Goes there, he said, I'm coming with you. He goes, no, Dad, you don't have to come with me. I'm just going to do the thing. No, I'm going to come with you. So I come with him, and I sit in the parking lot, and the seller is driving his 4Runner truck, whatever you call it, into the parking lot. No more front bumper. The whole front bumper was off. Joyce's look like Huggy Muggy, you know, your teeth all bust off. He drives the truck in. I go, I thought you said you were reversing. He goes, yeah, I was reversing, and I couldn't step on a brake fast enough, so I scraped this other car. I said, oh, you scraped another car. So he does the transaction. Take it to a repair shop. The guy looks inside, opens the hood. He goes, this car was in an accident before. You see the smash over here? This is on you. This car is not 18,000. Now you got to pay all these this is on you. And I thought about how we can have everything. That God will provide every single thing we need. He would want to bless us with all this because we are his children, and how we can still walk away from that. And I think as America, we've walked away from that. I was talking to this lady outside after the first service. She goes, oh, I could feel your pain. I want to slap his head. I said, yeah, okay. Let's bring it back spiritual, okay. No. Think of how God looks at us. The mistakes we've made. How many times did God want to slap us on the head? But by his grace, God says, it's on you. The consequences are on you. I still love you. I still will provide, but the consequences are on you. And I wonder if America, how we follow that pattern somehow. I wonder if in America, we try to figure out what is freedom. But instead of thinking what freedom is, see freedom isn't living free from, you know, we want freedom from slavery. We want freedom from oppression. We want freedom from, in the Christian, we want freedom from the strongholds in our life. That's not just freedom, folks. Freedom is also living for something. The way I look at freedom is living for the life God created us to live, for the provisions that he provides, because we are his children, because we have been created in his image. Freedom is living for the things. It's a life that's aligned with how God desires us to live. Freedom is not defined by being able to do whatever we want, to just do whatever we want. See, when we choose to walk away from the covering of God, it's not freedom. You know what that is? Foolishness. We want to be free. No, you want to be foolish. And as a nation, I think in the pursuit of freedom, we've become foolish. How else can you explain that only 39% say they like living in America today? I think it's because we've fallen for the strategy. And you know whose strategy this is? It's Satan's strategy. He started this in the garden. From way back at the beginning of time, Satan imposed a strategy on God's creation, and we have not learned the lesson ever since. Take a look at Genesis 3. Genesis 3. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Our ushers will gladly give you a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, take it home. Genesis 3, and Brandon started this last week or the other week, and I thought it was a great idea. In your house Bible, if you're not familiar with it, Genesis is the very first book in the Bible, so go to the very beginning. Genesis 3 is on page 3. How easy is that? Genesis 3, I want you to see the strategy that has been at work ever since the beginning of time. Genesis 3 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" In other words, isn't there room for compromise here? Did he really say that? Can we have a conversation about this? Yeah, you might have heard God say something, but is that really what he meant? Do you really have to live this way? And the woman said, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" In other words, Eve's response to the serpent was, "I know what God said. I know what God said. He told us how we need to live. He told us all these parameters. He knows how we should live our lives, and it was all made in our best interests," she's basically saying to the serpent. Now, verse 4, the serpent's response. "You will not certainly die," the spirit said to the woman. "God would never let that happen to you. Come on. You're God's creation. You're made in his image. You're his child. He would never let that happen. He won't make you die. For God knows," verse 5, "that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." In other words, Satan says, doesn't God desire your best? As his creation, he wants you to have your best, right? Come on, you'll be fine. "And the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom." In other words, she looked at her current circumstances through now her own eyes and not through God's eyes. Initially, it was what God said, and now she's saying in her mind, she's going through this process of thinking and saying, okay, God may have said that, but this is what I'm seeing. And it looks good. So I'm going to make a decision based on what I'm seeing. And so she ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it, although he knew better, and that's why men are subject to women today and are getting run over by women. No. Is that what? Only my Bible says that? "And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." Okay, here's what Satan was saying. Satan was saying, "You want to be free? You want freedom? Can you live under these restrictions? Yeah, God made all these things for you. You're the child of God. Doesn't God want your best? In fact, you know what? You want freedom to live for it? Then go for it. If you want to be free, go for it. Don't let anybody tell you. Don't let anybody stop you. Not even God should be able to stop you, because he made you. He wants the best for you. So go for it. If it makes you feel good, do it. No one's going to stop you. Because how can a loving God allow you to suffer? All these thinking of, well, if I do this, I'm going to suffer. How can a loving God allow you to suffer? He's not going to let you suffer. Do it. Go ahead. No worry. And I can hear him saying this. He said, "And if anything goes wrong, I got your back. I got your back. In fact, you know what? You have a right to do whatever it is that you want. You have a right. And in fact, you know what we'll call it? We'll call it civil rights. How's that? Does that sound good? We'll call it civil rights that allows you to do whatever you want. In other words, the strategy of Satan, if I can just lump it into this one little nut right here, the strategy of Satan was this: to make God irrelevant. That God is no longer relevant in your life. That you don't need God in your life. And when we distance ourselves from God's covering, God becomes irrelevant. And this is exactly what we see reflected in the attitude of our apathetic and our antagonistic culture today against the Word of God. And we wonder why people feel that it's not proud to live in America. It's because we're no longer one nation under God. We've chosen to walk away from that covering. And you see it reflected in decisions in all branches of government, whether it's executive, legislative, judicial, whether it's in corporate America, whether it's in religious institutions, where we no longer see ourselves as God's child and living under the protection of our Lord God, that we walked away from the truth that we've been created in the image of God. And we see that in the dramatic increases in depression, in suicide. You look at statistics. Be a stats guy for a change and look at some numbers. The sharp rise in suicides and depressions, and they say, well, it's all attributed to COVID and being shut up and all that. I think it's go deeper than that. We don't see ourselves as a child of God. And so those who are depressed and are going to, you know, taking on their own lives and all that, they're feeling unloved, they're feeling unworthy, they're feeling unwanted, they're feeling undervalued. They no longer see themselves as a child of God. The rise in pornography, the rise in human trafficking is because people don't see one another as a child of God. If you saw each other as a child, you wouldn't be doing these things. We wouldn't be engaged in these things. The rise in drug abuse and substance abuse is trying to fill this void that exists because we've walked away from the covering of God. Oh, but Pastor, John 8 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The problem isn't that we don't know the truth. The problem, we know the truth. You know what the problem is? We can't handle the truth. To quote a familiar movie. America can't handle the truth. And if we cannot handle the truth, we cancel the truth. This whole cancel culture is canceling the truth. Is canceling the principles of God. I'll give you an example, okay? How does it apply? Gallup did another study and found that more people today believe in the existence of Satan than they do believing in the existence of God. Go figure that one. These two statistics knocked me over when I was doing this research. 39%, they don't feel good living in America. Only 39% feel good living in America. And more people believe in the existence of Satan than they believe in the existence of God. And what you see happening in across the landscape of America is that the media jumps on that. You see more movies about Satan. You see more corporate sponsorship of things that are satanic. One example, the 2023 Grammy Awards, just this last February. Somebody wrote an article about the Grammy Awards and gave his own, you know, take on it. And he said this. He said, this week, the Grammy Awards were held in Los Angeles. They featured a star-studded cavalcade of singers who can't sing, songsters who require a team of dozens to write their songs, and dancers who can't dance. They also featured a full-on satanic ritual on stage, starring singer Sam Smith and Kim Petras. Their song, Unholy, won them Best Pop Group and Group Performance. Their performance, in which the Tubby Smith donned a Satan outfit and top hat with horns, while Petras gyrated in a cage surrounded by Satan costume strippers, made headlines for its transgressive imagery. We're all supposed to be shocked, of course. That's the point. But the fact that the performance is so unshocking should be the true shock. The truth is that Satan is so in right now. Oh, that gives me chicken skin. After all, Satan's message has become our society's. Personal authenticity requires the destruction of all traditional mores and the trashing of all intermediate institutions of Western civilization. To be free means to live without rules or boundaries, and our truest heroes are those who say, as John Milton Satan did, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Let that sit on you for a little bit. Corporate America sponsors these shows. Advertisements sponsor these shows. Products that your kids are looking at. And this gets blasted all over social media. They have now, in our American schools, I don't know if any in here in Hawaii, you tell me if you found any. They have not these Bible study clubs. You know what they have? They have these satanic clubs. They have clubs for Satan in our public schools. And it's okayed by the administration. We have organizations that worship Satan, flat out. That's their mission, to worship Satan. And they are now receiving IRS coverage as an exempt organization like any other church nonprofit. So you write a check of donation to Satan, you get a tax write-off. That's what's happening in our world today. That's what's going on in the landscape of the home of the free. That's where we're finding ourselves. And you, no wonder. No wonder. Because we walked away from our identity as being a child of God. You see, it's one thing to have your identity stolen. You don't know about it. You do your credit report or something, then you find, oh, somebody stole my ID, and then you gotta go through all that trouble, you know, putting it all back together again. But it's something totally different when somebody is stealing your identification and you know that it's being done and you do nothing about it. We do some work with Palama Settlement up here. A lot of families, immigrant families, they don't really know the system. This one family, this child that we're kind of doing sports and stuff with, we noticed that he had some problems, and so one of our volunteers went to visit the home and discovered that he's a family of four, single mom. He's the oldest in the family. He's like sixth grade. The mom, she can't work because you got four kids at home. And the newborn, the baby, the most recent one, has some medical conditions with the brain and all that. So she goes in for medical benefits and unemployment benefits just to support the family. And she's told that they can't grant her benefits because somebody using her identification has been using her identification in seven other states. Somebody stole her ID. And now she's left with nothing. But you know what's worse? When we talked to her, she said, oh yeah, I know somebody has been going through my mail and stuff. I know somebody has been taking stuff. And she did nothing about it. And I think when we look at America today, we know something is going on. We know something's happening. But what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? How do we turn this whole thing around? How do we turn the tide of this and restore what our founding fathers said that we need to do? And I think it can be done, folks. But it's going to start with, like a church right here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, this little dot in Kalihi. It's going to start with us. Here's one thing I need you to do. Pray. Pray for people, specific prayers. Pray for someone that you don't even like. Pray for, you know, say politics. Say, like, pray for a politician. Pray for a leader that you don't even agree with. Pray. The power of prayer is powerful. Amen? Say it louder because Frida is here. She needs to hear that. Power of prayer is powerful. You pray for people specifically, not just, okay, God, would you watch over our country, please? No, pray for someone specific and for a specific issue. What's happening in our schools? What's happening at Palama Settlement? What's happening? We told our volunteers at Palama, you will find a child that God will put in front of your face and you will get to know them and you will pray for them by name. And when we told the kids that at Palama, oh, they were so overjoyed that somebody's paying attention to them. And you pray for them by name. Someone said that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. You know, you might say, well, I can't pray, Pastor. My faith isn't that strong. Doesn't matter. The devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. Prayer is a chief concern of Satan. He wants to keep Christians from praying because he knows that James says this. James says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So what does that mean? Here's the second thing. Pray. Here's the second thing. Live righteous lives. For your prayers to be effective, live righteous lives. It's not just living life the way we want to live. If we're going to change the trajectory of America today, it's really on us. Satan will continue to do what he's going to do. That's why he exists. That's the only reason why he exists. But a lot of the weight of turning the tide on this is on us as believers who are willing and committed to living out the foundations of the gospel, the values of God. You know, look at statistics again. With Christians, they say marriage and divorce, no different statistic than those who are unbelievers. Saw 50%. When you look at teenage pregnancies, it oftentimes result in abortions. Numbers are up. When you look at, they said 12 to 18-year-olds, 60% of those 12 to 18 who claim to be Christians are sexually active today. The outside world looks at that and they go, what's the difference? Living righteous lives. Well, what does it mean to live a righteous life? Psalm 15, write this down, go read it later. In fact, put it in front of you when you pray that God will help you to live this kind of a life. Psalm 15, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to the neighbor, casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fears the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent, and whoever does these things will never be shaken. You'll never be shaken because you become a pillar. You become someone that the world looks at and they say, well, man, things are going pretty tough around here, but we can look at you and you're not shaken. Because you're living this life that God had set out. Live a righteous life. And the last thing is this, share your story. Share your testimony. Tell somebody about what God has done in your life. I don't know enough about the Bible. You don't need to know enough about the Bible. You know what God did in your life. Share what God has done in your life, even if it's just a one-minute testimony. Because the world is listening. When you look at statistics, you can read it several different ways. One is that people are moving in a certain direction. What it tells me also is that when only 39% say that they love living in America, it tells me that there's 61%. There's 61% of the people saying, somebody help me with this. Because I'm not sure. The world's listening. The world is listening, but who's making the most noise? Who's being vocal about the positions that they take? You can name any one of those issues. I can show you that it's not Christian. And it's about time that somebody stands up and says, this is what God has done in my life. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Not to beat up on people, but to lift people up. To be an encourager. And man, you got to meet my friend. Who's your friend? Jesus Christ. Nah, that stuff. No. Let me tell you. It worked in my life. And just share your testimony. If we can pray and live righteous lives and begin to share our testimony, I think we can turn this around. America is not the most perfect place in the world. I agree with that. But we have a perfect God. And it was founded on the principles of a perfect God. We can then be witnesses, as he calls us to do in Acts 1:8, that you will receive power from on high, from the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, wherever I place you, you will be my witness. That's a powerful God. I love living in America. I'm proud to be a Hawaiian and Chinese, And I think I get Portuguese too, but I'm proud of that. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to live in this country. And I'm proud to declare that Jesus Christ, you are my Lord and my Savior. If we can all do that, whew, nothing to worry about. Satan doesn't have a chance. So let's start with that on this 4th of July weekend. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray. And when I say amen, I want us to sing, not Ho'onani. We'll sing that again next week. But I think on this weekend, let's sing God Bless America. All right? Father, thank you, Lord. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for the country we get to live in. Father, you could have had us born in any other century at any other time. But Lord, by your wisdom, you've placed us here for a reason. And Father, although we can read statistics and look at stories and hear all the bad news, Father, you are the good news. May we be carriers of the good news. Help us to pray for someone specific. Holy Spirit, would you land that person's name on our hearts even right now? We pray for someone. We pray for whatever the cause is. And may our lives reflect you, a righteous life of following a righteous God. And that testimony be shared amongst the world. Because in the end, Father, we know that you are our God, we are your people, and we pray that you indeed bless America, the United States of America. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's sing.